So we're looking at these various cases in which great, even great people were put into excommunication, chayrim, because of the way they spoke disparagingly in a disrespectful way against the Torah or Kadosh Baruch Hu or Tamid HaChamim. So we are up to where it says, Hamegis Daitoi Klapei Maila. You got that? The first words on the line are Es Aroinoi. Es Aroinoi. This was the third case. Hamegis Daitoi Klapei Maila. Somebody who spoke disrespectfully Klapei Maila. Who is that? Maigi. What is the case? The Tnan. This is another Mishnah. All three were Mishnahs. Remember, initially, there was a statement in the name of Rabbi Shua ben Levi, 24 places in which we find this phenomenon. Rabbi Lozer only managed to discover three in the Mishnayos, and this is the third and final one. The Tanan, we've learned in the Mishnah, Sholach Loi Shimon ben Shotach L'choini Hamagel. Shimon ben Shotach sends a message to Choini Hamagel. Of course, we're all familiar with the story. The Gemara in Tanis with Choini Hamagel, who davens the Rabbeinu Shel Olam for rainfall, and there was rainfall. And remember, he stood in a circle, and that's why he's called Hamagel. Magel means a circle. Now, the Chiddush is not that he davened, and not that he was answered, but rather the Chiddush is the way he davened. What did he in fact say to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam? So Shimon ben Shotach sent a message to him. Tzorich ato lehisnados. Essentially, you ought to be excommunicated. Essentially, you need to be put into chayrim. We'll see why in a moment. Ve'ilmole choini ato, comma. And if not for the fact that you are choini, I would have done so. Goizrani alecho nidui. I would have been goizer on you, a nidui. I would have decreed a cherem, and you would have been in this excommunication. That's really what you deserve. And had it been anybody else, I would have done so. Avol ma'ese. But what should I do? Sha'ato mischate. Now, I'm very curious, Rabbi Yosef, how does Rabbi Altscroll translate mischate lifnei amokim? We'll see how Rashi translates it.
Behave cavalierly.
Cavalierly, whoa. Cavalierly. We'll see exactly, we'll see how Rashi translates this. Sha'ato mischate lifnei amokim. And I see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does your will. So, essentially, said Shimon ben Shotach, I would have said that the way you spoke to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, as we'll see in a moment in Rashi, not just asking for rain, but really demanding rain, essentially, that's considered a disrespectful way to talk to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and you should really be put in chayrim. But I see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu always responds to you. So it seems to me that you have a relationship between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu like son to father, where even if the son demands, perhaps in a what we would consider non-respectful manner of the father responds. So it seems to me that you have a very special kesher, and therefore I'm not going to put you into nidui. But had it been anybody else, I would have said you deserved a nidui. Says the Gemara in conclusion, ve olecha, and about you, hakos of oimer, the pasuk says, yismach avicha veimecha v'sogal yeiladetecha. Yismach, the parents are happy with the child. It seems to be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy with you. Now this is the third example of a nidui, although it's a little bit strange because he actually did not get put out in a nidui. So clearly he's on the lookout, not just for examples of those who were put into a nidui, but even those who essentially were deserving as such, even though practically it never happened. Now, let's have a look at Rashi. Slightly further up the page. Ilmole choini ato. Ilmole means if not for. If not for the fact that you are choini, and what's so special, sheyotza shimcha, that your name has gone out, bigdula, or bechashivos, your greatness, your prominence, so you're well known as not just being a regular yid, but as being somebody exceptional, somebody great and prominent. And therefore, even though essentially I think you do deserve a cheirim, but practically we're not going to put you in one. Why would you deserve to be put into a nidui? Sorech ato lehisnadois. Essentially, you deserve a cheirim. Why? Lefi shehitriach lefnei hamokim. Hamokim is, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The way you, as it were, bothered HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you davened for rain. Al esek geshomim, on this matter of rain. Loi kach sho'alti kamo pa'omim, quote unquote. When you spoke to the Rabbeinu Shalom, you said, Loi kach sho'alti kamo pa'omim, have I not asked such many times? Now that, for any person on a lower level than Choini, would be considered disrespectful, right? It's like a teacher who says to a child, or a parent says to his son, no, come on, go to bed, I've already told you 10 times, how many times do I need to ask you? But for the child to speak to the father like that, imagine the child will speak to the father and say, can I please have a candy? I've asked you 10 times already, how many times do I need to ask? That would be considered disrespectful. And yet it seems that's exactly what Choni HaMagel did say. When he implored of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, he said, haven't I asked you so many times? And Rashi concludes, V'kavoid hamokoim, kavoid horavu. Kavoid of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is tantamount to kavoid of the Rav. Because remember, we began this sugya by saying that the following is a list of those who went into cheirim for doing what? For being disrespectful against a Rav. Now, Choni HaMagel was disrespectful against the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Says Rashi, it's all the same thing. An incredible thing. Like we learn in the Mishnah, Moira Raboch, Kamoira Shomayim. So for it's all tantamount to the same. Says Rashi, Mischate. Now, what does the word mischate mean? A strange looking word. It says Rashi, Loshen Choite. Literally speaking, says Rashi, it's a Loshen of Choite, Chait Sin, which means Nokel Beliboy. It's easy in his heart. He takes it easy. Lachtoi Laviv, as it were, to sin against his father. He takes it easy with his father. Or as Rabbi Yosef, you told us, it's translated as cavalier, very familiar. Ulahatrichoi, and to bother him, al ta'avosoi, for his desires. If I wanted something from you as a friend, I would respectfully ask you, I wouldn't nag, I wouldn't bother you. But a child has no problem asking his father 25 times for the same thing. Nachum, you seem to be nodding. Or you're surprised I said only 25.
Yeah, I was over the list. I'll take 25.
Okay. So why? Because the child feels a familiar relationship with a parent. That's what it means. Nokel, he finds it easy. We have no inhibition. I would not beg my friend, please lend me $100. Please lend me $100. Please lend me $100. How many times have I asked you already? That's not the way that you'd normally speak to somebody else. But a child feels very familiar with his parent. And that's the way, seemingly, Choni HaMagel addressed the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. He said, can we have rain? Can we have rain? Can we have rain? How many times do I have to ask you? I've asked so many times already. That's the way that a child would speak to a parent. And the parent responds as well. And that's what Shimon ben Shattach said. Had anybody else davened to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam in this way, we would have put him into cheirim. But with you, it seems to be different. HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds, and you seem to have a different kesher with HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
But isn't that the definition of our relationship with Hashem, is one of parent to child? and we're supposed to keep davening and keep davening and keep davening.
Yes. Those who are in our tefillah vadim last winter or like in the summer, we discuss this at great length. We're talking about the way he expressed it, though. The fact that you're supposed to daven, of course, you're reminding us of the Mabit. The Mabit is one of the great early Achronim, I think at the same time as the Beis Yosef. And he asks this famous question, exactly what you just pointed out. If I wanted a loan from somebody, I'd knock on his door and ask for it very timidly, and I'd wait for him to respond. I wouldn't bang on his door 25 times, because eventually he would say, that's it, you're driving me crazy, I'm not going to talk to you. Says the Mabit, that's exactly what we do with the Rabbeinu Shalom. Down in the morning, down in the afternoon, down in the night, we come back tomorrow, start all over again. Don't we think HaKadosh Baruch Hu's got the message already? So those who are with us for our tefillah vadim, we're not going to go over, I think it was 27 vadim now in 30 seconds, but the bottom line was, you're right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does get the message straight away. The question is, do we get the message? The reason why we are imploring of the Rabbeinu Shalom constantly is to remind us on a constant basis of our total reliance on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that beautiful, beautiful and fundamental line in the Kuzari. Four words, you have to remember this for the rest of your life. Mozoin. He says, Tfilah lenefesh kemozoin leguf. Davening is for the soul like food is for the body. Just like we eat three times a day, so too we daven three times a day. Nobody says, well, I don't need supper tonight because I had breakfast. That's worn off. That was good for the morning. The effects have worn off. So too, in the spiritual sense, we daven in a continuous manner, not because HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs it. We need it. That injection of the reminder of our reliance and dependence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Kuzari, Tfilah lenefesh is kemozoin leguf. Either way, what Chaim Magel was being accused of over here is not the fact that he asked so many times, you're supposed to do that, but it was the way he expressed it. As Rashi said, he said, haven't I asked you so many times? We would never implore the Rabbeinu Shalom of that, in that way. Yes, we would beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a Refuah Shleima, for Parnasa, for Das, whatever it may be, time and time and time again. But we would not turn around to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, haven't I asked you 25 times? Don't you get the message? That was the criticism, as it were, against Chon Yamagel, other than the fact that Shimon ben Shatach noticed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds. So it seems to be you have an extra special relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we have now completed the list of three. Says the Gemara, first word on the line, Vesu Leka. Are there no other examples? Firstly, Rabbi Shua ben Levi, at the beginning of the sugya, said there are 24. Rabbi Elazar has managed to come up with only three. But there seems to be others that are explicit anyway. Vaha'ika, surely there are other examples. Why did Rabbi Elazar only come up with three? There are other examples as well. What are they? The Tani, Rabbi Yosef, Toidos, Ish, Roimi. Rabbi Yosef, Toidos, Ish, Roimi said the following. Hinhig es b'nei Roimi. Oh, sorry, I read it. I put the comma in the wrong place. The Tani, Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef stated the following, comma. Toidos, Ish, Roimi. Toidos, who was living in Rome, Hinhig es b'nei Roimi. He introduced a custom with the B'nai Roimi, Laha'achilon Gedim Mekulosim, to feed, to make sure they eat sheep which are Mekulosim. What does Mekulosim mean? We'll see in Rashi, it means roasted whole in its entirety. B'leile Psochim on Leil Pesach. Now, we need to remind ourselves, Rashi teaches us this. In the times of the Beis HaMikdash, this took place in Golos, but in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, you'd be makriv your Korban Pesach on Erev Pesach, and it would indeed be roasted on the spit whole. The entire animal. If you did that, you were Mekayim the Mitzvah, and of course, it was eaten in Yerushalayim, all of Klal Yisrael were Oleh Regel. You are not allowed to eat kodshim outside of Yerushalayim under any circumstances. Here you had those in Rome, quite clearly not in Yerushalayim, and Toidus Ishraimi introduced this minhag. And he said everybody should be eating sheep, again, roasted whole, just like they did in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, what's wrong with that? So look at Rashi. Mekulasin, says Rashi, tsluyim, roasted kishahein shleimim, when they are complete. You don't chop it up into bits and then roast it. Rather, you roast it as it is shalim, in its entirety. The toilin, and you would hang karehen, the karsulehen, the kervehem, all the various parts, the innards, the top, the bottom, the whole animal, svivoisam bishpud. Shpud is a spit. Ba'al shem kach, and because of this, kirehu, it is called, quote unquote, mekulas. That's what the word mekulas means, shehu loshen, mezuyon, kedematargan, v'koyva nechoyshe, saroyshe, v'kulsa denechoysh, denachsha. So either way, this word, this tricky little word, mekulasin, means it is roasted entirely, in its entire state, on the spit. Belelei psochim, zeicher lepesach. This is what he introduced. Zeicher lepesach. This is talking about the times when there was no Beis HaMikdash. So he introduced this artificial, as it were, carbon, which was a zeicher for the Pesach. Shetzoilehu sholem, which one has to also roast whole. That's what you have to do with the Korban Pesach in times of the Beis HaMikdash. How do I know? Shenemar boy, because it is written with regard to it, quote unquote, al kra'ov v'al kroivoy, klema im kra'ov v'im kroivoy, with the innards, with the legs, with everything. So that's what he introduced. He said, roast this animal, even though it's not obviously a korban, in exactly the way that you would have done so in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, zecher lepesach. Now, why was that problematic? Says the Gemara, this was the message now. Sholach lei Shimon ben Shatach. So Shimon ben Shatach, who was mentioned in the previous story as well, sends him a message. And he said, il mole toidois ato. If not for the fact that you would have been that you are Toidos, a very great person, Goizrani Olecha, I would have decreed upon you a nidui. Why? Sho'ato ma'achil es Yisrael kodshim bachutz. There is an issa to eat kodshim, any korbanos, bachutz, outside of Yerushalayim. And he said, you are causing people to stumble in exactly that area. Why? Look at Rashi. Goizrani olecho nidui. V'haynu nami lechvoid harav. This is another example of basically somebody who is being disrespectful to a rav. Who was being disrespectful? Toidos. Why? Which rav? The chachamim. She'asru chachomim es hadavar, comma, because Chazal asad this. And by the way, this is halacha lemaisa. Lefi shehu karoiv lahachil es Yisrael kodshim b'chutz, because you are very close to causing kodshim to be eaten b'chutz. Why so? She'horoye savor, because anybody seeing it, what would he think? Shehikdishoy l'shem Pesach. If I see, even now, in Tovshim Pe'alef, you take an animal, Amleil Pesach, and you roast it whole, what will I say? It looks like this is really a korban. It looks like you are really makdish it, l'shem Pesach. And that's why you're treating it exactly like a korban. But one moment, if you are doing that, what on earth are you eating it for? Outside of Yerushalayim. So what will people think? That apparently you're allowed to eat kodshim outside of Yerushalayim. And this is, by the way, halacha lemaisa. Halacha l'maisa. Even nowadays, we do not have the Pesach, the Korban Pesach, or the Beis Hamikdash, but you're not supposed to eat roasted meat on the Seder night. You're not supposed to have roasted meat on the Seder night for this very reason. Because if it's roasted, it looks like a korban, and people say, what's going on? You're allowed to eat a korban outside of Yerushalayim. And Toidos not only permitted it, but he introduced it as a custom and said everybody should do this. So therefore, that's also considered disrespectful to a Rav. Which Rav? Chazal. Because Chazal initially outlawed this. Says Shimon ben Shotach, essentially I would put you in Cheirim. Practically I'm not, because you're a very great person. So either way, this is our question. So why are you telling me that there's only three cases of Cheirim? Here we've discovered the fourth. Says the Gemara, b'mishnaseinu ka'amrinan. Because we were only discussing those that are mentioned in our Mishnayos, the hob b'braisa hi. And yet this is not a Mishnah, it's only a braisa. So you're quite right. There's no difference essentially in the case. This is another classic example. But when we said the magic number three, for whatever reason, we were referring to three that are to be found in the Mishnayos, as opposed to this, which is not a Mishnah, it's a Braisa. So it sounds like, at this point, that if you look in the Mishnayos, however, you will only find three. You might well find other cases elsewhere, but not in the Mishnayos. And that's the Gemara's immediate question. I do have another case in the Mishnayos. Says the Gemara, ubamasnisim leka, question mark. So are you telling me that at least in the Mishnayos there are no other cases? I have another one. What's the other one? The Hotna, we have another Mishnah. This is in Idios as well. The Tnan, Chotchoi Chulios, the Nosan Choil, Bein Chulio Lechulio. Now, we need to know a little bit of Hilchas Taharos to understand this. Under ordinary circumstances, if you have a kli, any type of vessel, utensil, if it becomes tamei, then you can be metahir it. You can purify it, you put it in the mikvah, etc., etc. But some kelim can never become tahir. For example, kli cheres. An earthenware kli, for whatever reason, that's what the Torah says, cannot become tohu. So essentially you would have thought that if I've got a kli which is cheres, once it becomes tomei, there's nothing to do with it. Now, firstly, one needs to know what is the definition of a kli. There's not a simple answer. We know Masechta's Kalim is the longest Masechta in Shas, 30 prokim. But the main rule of a kli is that it has to be a usable and portable item. So a house, for example, is of course usable, but it's not portable. It is mechubar lekarka. It is connected to the ground, and therefore a house cannot be mekabel tuma. Except in the case of tzaras, etc., etc. So we are talking about an oven. And Rashi, as we'll see in a moment, points out, we're talking about a portable oven. Now, we in our day and age don't even understand why is that a chiddush? Of course, an oven is portable. But it's not true, because in the times of Chazal, they had some ovens which were basically just a hole in the ground. Fashioned out of, you dug a pit and you had a fire there, and that would be your tanur. So that obviously cannot be makabel tumah, because it's just connected to the ground. So we're not talking about that. We're talking about something that resembles more like our tanurim, a portable kli. It's made out of earthenware. It became tomei. However, it became tomei, not relevant to us. So essentially, I would have thought, that's it. You have to apply the rule. This is a kli, and it's a kli cheres, earthenware, and it cannot become tomei. However, there is a possible solution, and that's what's being discussed in our Mishnah. And that is, if chot choy chulios, how do they translate that, Rabbi Yosef? They cut it into rings. Is that how they translate it?
sections.
You cut it up into pieces. You cut it up into pieces.
I suspect the reason it's called chulios is because the vertebrae of the spine look like rings, and those are called chulios.
Right, 100%. Quite right. So vertebrae in the spine are ring-shaped, and those are called chulios. So now, you chopped up this oven into pieces, which is not very functional now as an oven. Venosan choil, and you then put sand or cement. Bein chulia l'chulia, basically you patched it back together again. Is that good? Is that a solution or is that not a solution? Rebbe Loza says, yes, it's fine. It can become tahir. And the chachome metamim. Now, what exactly is the machalikas? Let's have a look. We're trying to finish this off quickly. Let's have a look at Rashi. Chot choy chulia, zok Rashi. Tanur shel cheres, an oven made out of earthenware. Shehu osui kakli. Rashi, you must point out for us that we're talking about a tanur which is made like a kli. Umetaltel. What does a metaltel mean? You can move it. It is portable. Rashi has to point this out because otherwise the whole concept of tumah doesn't apply if it would be something in the ground. No, we're talking about it's portable. The tchilas briyasoi and its initial creation was made min hatit. What is tit? Cement. So it's earthenware. It's not made out of wood or anything like that or metal. Umetzarfoi bekivshon. And you solidify it in an oven, in a furnace. The way they used to do this, you make cement, as we all know. Cement is very slimy and greasy. It's not very solid. You'd make your basic shape. You put it in a blast furnace, and that's called tziruf. That would solidify it and make it one solid item. Kashar kedera is just like you do with any other pot. V'im nitmo. And if it became tomei, that's it. It's all over. There's no way of becoming tohoir. It's srichoi hakosuv. The Torah necessitated nasitza. What is natitza? Smash it to pieces. As long as it is in its original kli state, it cannot become tohoir. You've got to break it to pieces. And we know that once you break a kli into pieces, it's no longer considered a kli. If I have a glass which dropped onto the floor and breaks into 100 pieces, that is no longer considered a kli. It will not become tomei anymore. But as long as it's in its kli form, it cannot become tomei. Now, v'im notzitzoi b'inyan zeh. So classic netitza means literally you break it into smithereens. But if you cut it up in the following way, Shechot choy soviv soviv. You cut it all around, kechulios agulois, round chains, round rings, pieces. V'chozar, and then you went back. V'chibroi, and you connected the pieces back together. Betit, shel choil, with cement made out of sand, whatever. Bein chulia lechulia, between each piece. Rebelozar metaher oilamis. Rebbe Loza says, yes, this can forever become tohoi once again. She'einoi oid kekli cheres. It is no longer considered like a kli cheres. Why? She'loi nisraf bekivshon. We said before that how is a classic kli cheres made? It is burned in a furnace. That's how it becomes one solid item. But this piece is not really one solid item. It was broken into several pieces, and then they were stuck together with the tit. But they were not stuck together by burning them in a furnace. And that was Rabbi Loza's tremendous chidush. Therefore, it does not have the status of a kli cheres anymore and can become tohir. However, the chachomim metamim. But the chachomim disagreed, and they said, who in the world cares that it hasn't been heated in the furnace. At the end of the day, it's made out of cheres, and that's what it is, and that's what it remains, and it cannot become toast. You have a huge machlokes. Now, look back into the Gemara. Says the Gemara, and this is the Zehu Tanuroi Shel Achnoi. Achnoi is a snake. A snake also wraps itself round in rings, in a similar shape to what you did to this oven. The Gemara says, "My achnoi, Omer Rav Yehuda Mashmul Melamed Shehikifuhu Halochos Ka'achnoi Zeh V'Timuhu." So, how do they translate that, Rabbi Yosef? Shehikifuhu Halochos Ka'achnoi Zeh.
It means that they surrounded Rabbi Eliezer like a coil snake with proofs from analogous rulings.
Right. So that means
they then declared it susceptible to him.
Right. I mean, they all converged on him to disprove his position. Now you can imagine this is a tremendous machlokes. If you say that a particular kli is tohor when others maintain it's tummy, that means you hold, you can put karbonis in it, you can bring it into the Beis HaMikdash, and others will say, Chas v'shalom. So this is a machlokes of epic proportion. And they all disagreed with him. V'tim'uhu, and the Chochamim said, I'm sorry, we vehemently disagree with Rabbi Loza, and we hold that this must become Tomei. Not only that, the Tanya we have learned in a Braisa, which then complements the initial Mishnah, it says, Oysoi ha'ayoyim heiviu kol taros she'tie Rebbe Loza. They brought all of the taros that Rebbe Loza, with his position maintained, is tohoir. And they said, v'sarfum lefonov. And they burned them all in front of him. You maintain that the kli is tohoir, and therefore, anything that was made in the kli also is tohor. It's not true. L'soif birkuhu. What does it mean, birkuhu? So, of course, the literal translator, it means they blessed him. But over here, it means the other way around, of course. It means they put him into excommunication. And that's, therefore, the big question. This is based on a story which is not in a braisa, it's in a Mishnah. So how can you tell me that there are only three cases mentioned in the Mishnah? Yes. But here we have another case where the initial story, at least, is in the Mishnah. And it says there's a chayr. Says Rashi, kol tarois shenasu b'tanur zeh, any tarois that were made in the oven, or shenogai ba'aviroi, or even if it just touched the air of the oven, b'hoir b'loza matar, Mataron, but no, Vahim Sarfon, they burned them, they said it's all Tommy. Ubirchu Waila Fishe Hirbe Moi Lachlik Badobozer. Because he very much argued, and the Gemara tells us this whole story in Bav Metzia, phenomenal story, Ayin Shom. But either way, it says that Rabbi Loza maintained his position, he refused to budge, and that's why they put him in Chayrim, because he was not prepared to compromise his position, even though all the other Chachamim disagreed. So either way, we have a Kasha. This story is initially mentioned in the Mishnah. Says the Gemara is true. Rafilu ochi nidui b'masnisin loy tanan. Remember, the initial story just tells us about the machlekes Rabbi Loza v'Chachamim. The part that says that he was put into cheirem, that part of the story is actually not mentioned in the Mishnah. That was a Tanya, that was a Braisa. So at the end of the day, there are only three cases mentioned in the Mishnah. Look at Rashi quickly. Nidui b'masnisin loy tanan, hod birchuhu, that particular detail of the story that they put him into cheirem, the Braisa hu d'toni lo, that part is mentioned in the Braisa, not in the Mishnah. Okay, so we still, on one hand, we do understand where we get the number three from, because there are only three cases in the Mishnayot, but where did the initial number of 24 come from? Rabbi Shua ben Levi said there's 24, Rabbi Loza said there's three. Says the Gemara, Ela b'chof dalet mekoymois, these 24 places Rabbi Shua ben Levi mentioned, Heicha Mishkachas Lo, where are they to be found? We don't need to come up with three. The answer is Rabbi Shua ben Levi, who said that there are 24, Medama Milsa La Milsa, compares one item to another. Rabbi Loza, Loi Medama Milsa La Milsa. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Medama Milsa La Milsa, Kol Mokoim Shera'a B'masnisen. Whenever Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi saw in a Mishnah, Shenechla Kayochid al Rabim Machloikas Gedoila, where the Yochid was arguing with a Rabim in a very, very big Machloikas, Oy Echod Menachachomim Shemedaber Kosher Keneged Godli Menu, or if he saw that somebody spoke very disrespectfully against somebody who was greater than him, Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, Ra'u hayokan nidui. It was appropriate to put him in nidui. So therefore, how many cases are mentioned explicitly of nidui? Three. But Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi compared that to any other case, and he must have discovered 21 more cases in which you find that somebody spoke against a godel in a very disrespectful way, and Rabbi Shua ben Levi says, I'm comparing that to the initial three. And I would have said that here a nidui would be appropriate as well. Whereas Rabbi Loza, who maintained there's only three, he was not Madama Milsa La Milsa. He said, at the end of the day, it's only three that are